Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:19 Central African time, the time of the morning when you all looked out. Did you look at the, let's be honest, did you go out this morning? Did you go out this morning, or if you walked out for Fajr Salah and you looked out into the skies and you looked at a beautiful moon, there's a lovely, you know, slim line moon, like, you know, when you trim your beard properly or your moustache and all, but that moon had a streamlined look, lovely look, and there was a star right on the left-hand side of that moon. And it was beside, they said, MashaAllah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But Adam Kamda, there he stands on his 10th floor in his building there in the Esplanade, and he looks down and he has a bird's eye view of everything. He looks at the moon, then he looks at the ocean, and then he looks at everything that has a motion. He even looks at the promenade. Adam Kamda, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafad. Yes, lovely morning, glorious morning on the Durban beachfront. The sun is up above the horizon, warming everything up. The weather conditions are much more settled today than yesterday, Shafad. Yesterday we had over 3 meter swells on the south coast. Today's forecast is for around 2 meters. But here on the Durban beachfront in the basin area, it's so calm and peaceful. There's not many kayakers or surfers out this morning because it's not a very powerful wave for them. And I'm busy scouring the horizon for the sardines. Still haven't seen any signs of it right here in the Durban beachfront. But a lot of my friends are taking a drive down the south coast and really enjoying this here sardine run, Shepard.
Now, Adam, you described some phenomena this morning, because I know I was up early this morning in doing my my rituals, which I do. I'll keep it a secret, but alhamdulillah, I noticed that my cats behaved very calmly and serenely this morning. They didn't even ask to go out. They just were sitting with me. I don't know about it. And I'm still looking, from the studio windows, and I'm looking out, and I still see cool, calm weather. I mean, it's crystal clear sky. It's crystal clear. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. There's no breeze, nothing. What could they, is it a holy day, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, I think you have such a calm personality. The cat didn't want to leave your presence, Shafad. It didn't even want to go outside. Probably.
No, you're pulling my leg there now, you know. I mean, it'll be cool, Kamika. But I'm amazed. I tell you, Silco, you know, she's a Siamese. She'll come up to me and she'll actually meow to go out. You know, she'll tell me, open the doors or something, and I'll have to do that. But this morning, even my tabby, I mean, he just sat there and he kept quiet, and I had to open the door and say, what's going on? Why are you not going out? And, you know, then I went to feed the roosters and the chicken too, and they were just chilled out. It was like, did they put something in the air, Adam?
Yes, Shafad. You know, I identify with what you're talking about, that scene that we beheld this morning with the moon, the crescent moon rising and a bright star next to it. There was actually a planet, and I actually looked across the sky to try and identify more planets, because I saw a post a few days ago showing about 4 or 6 planets lining up and being visible in the early hours of the morning. And I managed to spot a few of them, and it was such an amazing sight. But unfortunately, I couldn't quite capture all of that on my cell phone camera. But I did take a few pics of that amazing moon and star sighting. And I'll post it on my profile pic on Facebook a little later, Shabbat.
You know, how fortunate you are, Adam, and even you observe that. A good friend of mine, Faisal Asmal, also does that. He actually, you know, one day I was looking, I think about 3 months ago, when I looked into the skies, and I said, this is a very funny sight. There's like 2 stars on top of the moon, 2 below it. And lo and behold, Faisal sends me a picture, you know, and he says, these are the planets, and he's identified the planets, and there's the moon, and so forth. And I'm so privileged to have a wonderful and thoughtful friends like you, Adam Kamda, and also, you know, Faisal Asmal. Both of you are thinkers, looking into the skies, looking into the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, fortifying our iman. And as you know, the more you look into the signs around you and within you, the more powerful your iman gets. And, you know, you remember the North Star, and it was those sailors of yesteryear just to look forward to the North Star. What end of the vessels that were, you know, wooden vessels running and sailing only by the strength of the wind? I mean, how voracious reader were you to in these? Did you read Robinson Crusoe and all these books, Adam?
You know, Shafar, it's a funny story because when I was in school, I was not good at the languages and I hated reading with a passion. But as I matured, I'd say from around standard 8 onwards, that's grade 10 onwards, I did develop an interest in books. And it was actually after matric that I, you know, really started reading novels, et cetera, for leisure. Before, it was just for book reviews and you read the inside cover of the book and you try and make up something. But I realized that reading is really a key to knowledge. And it wasn't just novels. There was so much of nonfiction that I used to read. I used to love computers. I was a bit of a geek, you could say, because I read machine language books and computer architecture books and really enjoy all those kind of things. And strange you should hint towards navigation by the North Star at sea, because yesterday was the International Seafarers Day, and it's acknowledgement to all those individuals that have made a career at sea. And you know, we place too little importance on these people who control these massive cruise ships and goods ships, transporting goods around the world and taking people on amazing adventures on cruise ships around the world as well, Shafar.
Absolutely brilliant, Adam. And, you know, I had the privilege when I was with Sheikh Ahmed Deed at Rahimullah, and we used to go out on board these ships and give out literature. And subsequently, he told me, Shafar, you have to form a Muslim Seamen's Institute. And this is what we did. And, you know, I remember going on every type of vessel, and, you know, the Ro-Ro vessel and the cargo, even the cruise ship that used to come in. But our primary objective was to go do dawah, give Qurans on board, give literature, you know, talk to the Christian crewmen. And, you know, I was so privileged that I've been on every ship, met different types of captain. And the beauty, Adam, I had every type of chow under the sun. I mean, it was Durban Harbour where I met the world and I met these captains. And one thing I realized that sailors, you know, their life is such a hard one. And at that time, they were getting contracts for 6 years. I mean, 6 months up to 9 months, never got back home. And, you know, they were the perils of the sea. And when they came to harbour, they were very vulnerable. So here we were, you know, taking them for Jumma Salah. And at times, Adam, there were deaths on board where we went and we, you know, we took the mayyat and... you know, we buried them at King's Rest and so forth. And in certain instances, the family members wanted the body, you know, in the country in Egypt or Pakistan and all. So we had it embalmed and sent from, Adam and I think it was Adam and Dove or something. Yeah, something like that. And it went there. But these were experiences. And, you know, we, as we say, we take our Durban Harbour or we take Durban for granted. But yesteryear, there was this... easiness. You could just go on board and do what you had to do. And maybe some of them have missed out that opportunity because today the harbour is not open like how it was for us in yesteryears. Adam, your comments?
Yes, Shafat, Allah bless you for your efforts. I mean, that's quite remarkable, especially when a person's life comes to an end. The loved ones, you know, feel at such a loss when it happens in a remote place. And I can identify totally with what you're talking about, Shafat, because as a little kid, maybe aged between 4 and 5, we used to go fishing in the Durban Harbour and fish along these ships. And sometimes the crew would come down and chat, and they were such a friendly bunch of people. And, you know, there's two ways of experiencing the world. And if you travel the world, you experience different cultures, different languages, and you learn from the people. But if you can't afford to travel the world to experience it, this is a little bit of a reverse tourism where the foreigners actually come step off the ship and, you know, you interact with them. They are battling to speak English. You interact with someone, you know, who's from a different land, and they share stories from their trip and from their country, and they share, well, obviously we couldn't eat everything that they offered us, you know, in terms of food and snacks, but I remember so clearly this one seaman brought down some fruit from the ship. He brought this apple that was the size of a bumley mush. It was class one, sweet as anything, nothing like what we've ever seen. And then they bring simple things like chewing gum from America. And, you know, it's things like a little kid looks at in awe. You know, you are so used to just having the humdrum local sweets and things, but now to experience something from overseas was such an amazing treat. And their friendliness and warmth was second to none, Shafaat. You know, there was no question of mistrust or misguided friendliness. What is this person up to? What do they want? It was just open hospitality and human kindness. And we could reciprocate as well, Shafaat. We had sandwiches and whatever, you know, we brought along to fish, and we would share it with them and sit and have lovely stories and learn about all these different cultures in different countries around the world, Shafaat.
You know, Adam, you say it, you know, reverse the tourism, brilliantly said. And you talk about reciprocation. You know, I remember like some of these, seamen used to be on Greek ships. And then they used to complain to me, says, oh, Yahi Shafaat or Brother Shafaat, you know, we don't get decent meals on the ship. So you know what I used to do, Adam? And at that time, Allah bless my mother. She was alive and Lafila Kabarud Nur, even your mom and all moms that made parda from this dunya, Allah give them Jannah to Firdaus. But mom used to make a big, big pot of mutton akhni, and I used to take it on board. Adam, the duas and the blessings and the love that these people used to show. And, you know, sometimes they'll shower me with gifts. And I say, no, I don't want that. I just want your duas. I want your duas. And there it was, just taking one big pot of meal to them. And there was so much of baraka. Sometime when I went in there, the customs, you know, there was a Siva Lingam and this guy, that guy. Hey, Mr. Khan, how are you, Mr. Khan? Some used to call me doctor. They thought I was a doctor, Imtiaz Suleiman. And I let them believe it because I said, hey, nice, easy access. So anyway, they used to eat the akhni, the biryani, and it made it easy for me to go to the harbor. But, and there was another instance, Adam, where I gave a lecture on the Quran. And, you know, I remember this was a Maldivian crew. Guess what, Adam? My first 286 computer came from the ship. The whole thing, they gave me the printer, the computer. They said, no, you deserve this. We bought this. We thought we were going to use it here, but we want, the captain said, this must be given to you as a gift. So beautiful memories, a lot of barakah flowing, Adam. Comments?
Yes, Shafaat, you're reminding me of a time when mom packed a pot of dokra to take with us, and we sat at the wharf side and fished. Mm-hmm. And we shared this with some of the crew that came down and met us, and they were licking their fingers. They say they had never tasted that dish before, they had never heard of it before, but they absolutely loved the spices and the gravy and the dumplings, Shafaat.
I tell you, Adam, and you know, it was there. Yesterday, mom's were there. I mean, mom never complained. No matter how big the pot is, I don't know today whether it can be done, but I know you and I can do it, Adam. Hey, Allah's gifted us. Adam will make you a big deg, and we got contacts to Adam that will make a double deg for us. But Alhamdulillah, let's move on to our fishing slot here, and looking at the atmosphere, looking at big talks coming from the municipalities and other officials. Don't eat the sardines. It has been a very insensitive statement. Perhaps you can elaborate on that, Adam.
Yes, Shafaat, the Devon beaches are closed to bathing because of high levels of E. coli. And I'm surprised that they could so easily dish out warnings, but there's no talk of what they're actually doing to solve the problem, Shafaat. So I think they need to get their house in order, fix all those pumps, and prevent all that pollution from entering our sea. But from what I've observed is the netters have been netting from Margate all the way up to Isipingo Beach, and the sardines have been quickly snapped up by the public. I myself bought sardines when I was in Pumula on Sunday last weekend, and enjoyed that fair and celebrated Father's Day with fried sardines in the evening, and we all find no ill effects and really enjoyed it. But suppose it's a personal choice, you know, don't take it on my word. If you want to take the risk, then make sure you cook it well, and once it's deep fried and in hot oil, whatever little bacteria might be there will all be destroyed, Shafaat.
I'm looking at a question on the screen, and Harun says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda, Shafaat, Marcus Sahaba, Jazakallah khair for this lovely slot. He wants to know, I've got a neighbor who has a wooden rowing boat. It must be over 80 years old. Can I use it to go and catch sardines? It's as simple as that. But how would you respond to Harun? Adam?
Yes, Shafar, I think he's probably seen the rowing boat that operates at Addington Beach. Those guys have been doing it for decades, and the license has been passed down from generation to generation. They have the same netters license, and they are permitted to operate a non-motorized boat. So that is why they still use that wooden boat, and they row it out. And they wait for ideal conditions, Shafar. When we have a light southwesterly wind here in the basin area, it really flattens out the sea and makes it quite easy to launch the boat, to paddle, lay the nets, and then row back to shore, and then manually pull those nets in. And they have a license for shoal fish, so they can catch sardines in sardine season, and they also usually try for mackerel and red-eye sardine off season, and supply some of the tackle stores with fresh bait, Shepherd.
Now, Adam, when you're launching your boat, you know, I noticed when the waves are coming, but you're going like sideways. You know, you're going, you move against the wave, or you know, you just miss the wave. How you manage to do that? I mean, sometimes it's a phenomena, you know, which I marvel at. Sometimes, tell us when you're launching the boat, when you get in there, and when the waves are coming through, you're just missing the waves. How you manage to do that, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, for the untrained eye, they look out to sea and they see this huge rolling waves coming in and think, oh my God, there's no way that you can navigate a boat out through there. But with experience, you learn, you kind of understand that these waves come in sets. So as the waves roll into the shore, you'd find that the height builds up as you count the waves that come through. And there will be a peak where you have the biggest wave coming through. And subsequent to that, you'll have a lull. So the idea is to drop your boat, turn it around, push it into the water. Usually you launch in a sheltered launch site, you know, that's got some sort of protection. For example, an outcrop of rocks that gives you some protection from the swell. So you'll sit in this little bay or basin that's protected, and time the sets, you know, for the waves. And then on our coast, we find most of the launch sites, you actually have to launch in a northeasterly direction. And so that will take you between in the trough of the waves. And it's all to do with timing, Shafar, because as much as it can be a really big day, but in between you do get a lull of about 15 to 30 seconds. And that is when you find the experienced skipper will take the boat through the waves out to the back line without even getting a drop on board, Shafar.
Hey, I can feel the feeling, Adam. I can feel my adrenaline already going. Hey, I'll be frightened to go with you. But with you, yeah, I don't mind. Maybe you and Bicey, two guys I will trust. But anyone else, I say, hey, I'm going to gabrat, bro. I can't do it. But Adam, you know, the other day, there was this Maulana who was sitting with me talking. He said, no, Shafat, I like your fishing show. What's your favorite fish? I said, oh, I'd love to have a barracuda. No. He said, your favorite fish. In other words, he said, which fish or what type of fish do I like in the ocean? So I said, maybe for me it has to be the shark. Then I start thinking about the dolphins. Then I start talking about the killer whale and so forth. So for me, the most amazing fish, I said, oh, maybe, yeah, the story of the whale, Jonah in the belly of the whale. It has to be the whale. Amazing for me. And maybe the same question I like to pass on to you, my beloved brother Adam.
Yes, Shafar, that's a very complicated question because I love so many creatures from the ocean. But if I had to choose one, I think it would be the Dorado. It's, you know, it's so hard to describe, you know, when you catch a Dorado and to see all the colors on it, even when you're fighting it in the ocean, it's sometimes they are like blue, sometimes they are yellow, sometimes they are green. And the color even changes when you bring them on board as well. And they give a really aerobatical display when they are hooked and fighting. And the taste also is lovely, you know, when you bring it home and make a braai of it or fry it up with some garlic butter. So I think Dorado is my favorite. It's a summer season fish. So at the moment it's quite scarce, but coming towards October, November, we should start finding Dorado in our local waters again, Shafar.
Yeah, my engineer. Yes, Boniface. Tell me in my ear. Oh, okay. He says his favorite fish is a chambu. You know the chambu fish from Malawi, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, there are some lovely freshwater species that come from Malawi, and they are commercially exploited, and I'm sure it's quite a It brings like memories for someone from that area to be eating, you know, that local fish, Shepard. But here in Durban, in the fisheries, you'd find more red fish like slingers and red Roman, Englishmen, Scotsmen. And then you also get the salmon. The salmon is in season at the moment. Our local boats are doing exceptionally well. My friend Ibrahim on the boat Muscatch, he posts some very creative videos with the guys having fun on his boat and hooking sometimes two at a time, Shepard.
You know, you're talking about your Dorado, and I was thinking about, you know, when you have a freshwater aquarium, but the people that go wild for the discus. I don't know if you, did you ever keep a discus in your aquarium, Adam?
I had freshwater fish, just the usual guppies and those little fish that look like sharks and things like that. But one of my cousins had quite an elaborate, bigger marine tank, and they had discus and all the various exotic fish, and amazing to behold, but also lots of work to look after those tanks. So I think that's why that hobby ended quickly for me.
Well, I've still got them, and eventually, you know, many died now and only got two big ones left. As you said, they look like sharks, but these guys are so big, and they're about 12 to 13 years old. So I'm just saying, I don't know. If they go, I'm going to close the tank. I don't know whether to close it. But then, as you spoke about guppies and you spoke about swordtails or mollies, I went to a local shop, and I saw this guy had this tank with all these tiny fish, and they look like, you know, it looks so exciting. And but there comes a time, you know, when you are much younger, you enjoy all that. But as you said, cleaning with a new filtration system, Adam, you don't have to do much cleaning. You just have to take out a little bit of water every time, or just wash the sponge. They've made it so easy. And if you once you got it computerized, it will tell you exactly, hey, so now it's time to take out so much of water to put your pH level is like this and so forth. So it does the thinking for you, Adam. Your thoughts?
Yes, Shafar, when I was a little kid, we used to visit Julie's Pets and used to be so amazed at all these tiny fish. We used to love animals, but our parents weren't really keen on having cats and dogs at home. So I think as a pet, the easiest thing for them to stomach was to say, okay, Adam, you can have a little tank and keep a little goldfish or something. But we used to keep the guppies. And as a little kid, it was quite amazing to see all the colorful tails and have the males and females in the tank. And then even watch them breed. We had a little nursery tank attached inside, and when the babies would come out, you keep them in there and let them grow up a little bit. And it was really quite an amazing and educational hobby, Shepard. But as I said, as little kids, we were, you know, it was left to us to look after our own hobby, and then sometimes you get lazy for a few days or it'll go a week without cleaning, and it was really quite a chore, and I think it eventually didn't quite last. But it was wonderful when I had the fish, and I even remember a Siamese fighter that I had that I called Flame. That was really a beautiful and amazing little fish of ours.
I know the Siamese fighters, and you know, if you get two males together, hey, you got havoc in the tank. And you know, I will share a story with you. The first tank, I remember my uncle, I don't know if you knew him, Sadiq Suleiman, Universal Chairs. So he had his first fish tank, and it was a lovely tank. He had snails and this and that. Then he told me, hey, Shafan, clean the tank. And I must have been 11 years old. So I cleaned the tank. Guess what I did, Adam? I took the water and I took surf and I washed it. And then I put the water back, and next morning all the fish were upside down. Tell me the mistake I made, Adam. Tell the people what mistake I made.
Yes, Shafad. I had a similar incident where my brother and his family went overseas, and they had this lovely goldfish bowl with a single goldfish in it. And over the trip, this fish started swimming in circles vertically and swimming upside down, and I didn't know what to do. Unfortunately, that little fish passed away in my care, and I had to buy a new one and try and pass it off as the original. But when they got back, I told them what happened, and they forgave me. And it was good, Shepard.
Yeah, I left my mistake because I shouldn't have put the detergent. And another friend of mine told me, this is how you clean a fish tank. You don't do that. Use the sand and so forth. So, mashallah, became a master at that. And, you know, you learn through your mistakes, Adam. I can hear Gigi Foy telling me, Shafa'at, I want Adam's recipe. Okay, you got a recipe for Gigi Foy this morning, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, I'll explain how to make a lovely fish burger. This is slightly different from just pan searing the fish. You can actually take a firm-bodied fish like cod, like rock cod, take a piece of the fillet and cook it sous vide style, Shafar. This is a hot water bath. So you you take the fish, the portion that you want, you put it into a plastic bag, add some olive oil and some salt and pepper, and seal it. But before you seal it, this is the point where you can get creative. You can use various spices. If you want to use some fish masala, that's fine. If you want to keep it the original flavor of the fish, just a little bit of salt and pepper, it's fine. But if you want to get exotic, you can even put a little drop of some wasabi paste, which will give it a little bit of a spicy kick. So you add this to the bag, you seal the bag, you vacuum seal the bag, and add it to the hot bath. And the sous vide machine will control the temperature and the time. So you would cook it at 57 degrees for 15 minutes. Once it's done, you cut the bag open, remove the fish, pat dry the fish on paper towels. And at this point, the fish is fully cooked, but you need to sear it to give it some color. So you can either do that flash fry on a very hot pan with some olive oil, or you could use a blowtorch and give it some color, and that way you get that lovely caramelized taste. Then you take this cooked fillet and you would assemble your burger as you normally would, with your lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and smother it with some either chili sauce or, if you like, some tartar sauce.
I tell you, Adam, absolutely brilliant. And you bring that alive, that type of burger will be very tasty. And whilst you're talking about that fish burger, I was thinking about, the ordinary patty. If I took a blowtorch and I wonder, would I make it into cinders, or can I blowtorch a patty and put it blowtorch a mutton patty, and put it in the, as a burger, Adam?
See, Shafad, when you use the blowtorch, it's extreme heat, and it just basically gets to the surface of the meat. So ideally, you want to have something that's fully cooked through, and you're using the blowtorch just to give it color, just to caramelize the outside to add that flavor. So it lends itself to the sous vide style, because sous vide style, you can do steaks, etc., that keeps the moisture in. It's cooked all the way through, and you can control it precisely whether you like it medium or well done or rare. But once you take it out, if you try and eat it like that, there's something lacking in the texture. So that's why you'd use the blowtorch and just crisp up the. It's just like a millimeter thickness of the outside, and gives it a little bit of a crust. And that's really completes the style of cooking with the sous vide and the blowtorch, Shafad.
Absolutely perfect. Perfecto there, Adam. Adam, your parting words this morning?
Yes, Shafad, as I always encourage our Durban tourism, I'd love everyone to just jump in their cars and take a drive down the South Coast and look out for the sardines. Hot spots today would be Sipingo Beach down to Warner Beach, or if you're adventurous, go down to Scottborough, or further down to Hibernian, Margate, Ramsgate, Port Shepstone. All are amazing spots. And even if you're not a fisherman, just go down and chat to the fishermen that are on the hot spots like Margate Pier and the Block, and really interact with our locals and be part of the sardine run. You never know, you might even see the netters dropping the nets today. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafad. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our wonderful Adam Kamda, really bringing it alive. I think Adam, there is there's a sign here. I'm going to go down to Sipingo Beach, Rivermouth this morning. I am definitely going to go down. Maybe this tranquil, calm weather is saying, sardines are coming.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.